The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have Frank Isola on today's show. Frank is terrific. He worked for both tabloids in New York City, for the Daily News and the Post. He is part of SiriusXM NBA Radio. He is on ESPN as a cast member, I guess is the best way to put it, on Around the Horn, and also guest hosts on occasion on PTI with Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser. Frank Isola, I want to have Frank on about a national view of the Suns with the second half of the season starting tonight up in Portland. And what does he see? And also the names that are available at the power forward position. Because if you look at the Suns right now, Frank Kaminsky is there. I like seeing Jay Crowder come in. But would LaMarcus Aldridge or P.J. Tucker be an upgrade? You know, I want to talk with Frank about that. And why is Devin Booker not getting more national attention? My stance has been because he's in Phoenix and the team stinks. And that's been the last 10 years. And all I get is, well, he's being disrespected. And I can't change people's minds on that stuff, but that's just nonsense. If your team's good, they're going to get you out there. And also, you have LeBron and you have Steph Curry and you have Damian Lillard all going on. And just go down the list of guards while Devin has been here. But also, are the Suns a team that can really make a long run this postseason? So we'll talk with one of the leading names, good guest, Frank Isola. That comes up at 10:20. Devin Henry will be with us at 10:35, and it's NASCAR week. Those of you that have been on the platform through the years know that Devin is just a guru, I guess, a local guru when it comes to, and one day he'll be a national guru, when it comes to sport of speed and everything going on at Phoenix Raceway with the track being packed this weekend. So Devin will be with us. He's talked with Michael McDowell, who won the Daytona 500, who was born here in the Valley. He caught up with Mike Joy, the voice of NASCAR, with Fox. Devin has just been killing it. He's had some good help along the way, too. So we appreciate all the help behind the scenes. That is coming up with Devin Henry at 10:35. The Iron Man is in place today, Jared Nielsen. And it's always good to have the Iron Man doing his thing. Cast of thousands, not really, but just a good group. Here at sports360az.com. We did not hear today. Spurge did not check in. And it's fine. And Claudia didn't check in, and it's fine. What I tell them is check in when you have something. If you're busy, then so you guys are like, well, I kind of like hearing the banter with you guys. It's not scripted. It's just if you've got something, check in. If you don't worry about it. All right. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. So there's a lot going on in town today, and that's why I always tell people we're the busiest sports market in America that nobody knows about. I'll pay attention to Chicago and New York and L.A., and no, it's NASCAR week. You have the Suns starting the second half of the season tonight at Portland. NFL free agency is going on before you know it, all the leading up to it, the Fitz watch and all that. ASU basketball winning yesterday, but I want to start with the Diamondbacks. Yesterday, I decided to sit in on a Zoom. I saw that the president, Derek Hall, was going to be in on a Zoom. And we've had Derek on the show, and we can have Derek on the show, but I've just been busy. He's been busy. And on the positive side, he did mention that his health screenings have come back clean, and that is good news for sure. But, you know, there was a lot of discussion about fans being allowed in the ballpark, and I get it. That's important. That's important. But I'm sitting there after like 10 minutes saying, is anybody going to ask him about what's going on with Torey Lovello's contract? And so I had to be that guy yesterday. And because Torey Lovello's contract is a big deal, you do not let managers sit and wonder and twist, even though they will say publicly, because what else are they going to say, that they are not twisting and wondering what the future is going to hold. Torey Lovello was manager of the year in 2017. Last 3 years, they haven't made the playoffs. Last year, the Diamondbacks were easily one of the most disappointing teams in all of Major League Baseball. That's a fact. So here they are with, and I asked Derek too about, you know, the what's going on in the division with the Dodgers winning the World Series and the Padres throwing a bunch of money, and he liked the underdog role, and that's about what you can say. He's not going to say, we're going to be lucky to win 75 to 80 games. He's not going to say that. No president would say that. But he did say about Tory's situation that the timing just hasn't been right. They haven't even really talked about it. Tory's been focused. You don't want to do something too early, and on and on and on. And I have to tell you guys, it appears to me, sitting here on March 11th, okay, that if the Diamondbacks start out slow, we'll probably be around mid-May. If they're still started out, or if they're still by 6 weeks in, kind of sort of hanging around, if they're 7-15, they're going to make a change. This is a reset year for them. I think most of you, I know I'm in this space. I will be fine if they decide, look, we have to tear this thing all the way down to the ground. I'm going to be fine with that. If by chance, and here's how it usually works with the Diamondbacks last several years. They are around the first week of July. They go play the Dodgers in LA. It's like a four-game series, and they lose 3 of 4. And all of a sudden, they go from 2 back, and we're saying, hey, everything's great, to 5 back, and then the rest is history. That's how it's gone. That's a fact. And so when I look at Torey Lovello, I think that nobody has a bad word to say about Torey Lovello. Nobody. And Torey Lovello is not the one that went out and made a Paul Goldschmidt trade that, to this point, anybody who's going to tell me that they're better off with the players that have come back, those players have not been consistent producers. That doesn't mean that Goldschmidt would have stayed here. But when you make a deal of that magnitude, you can't have a pitcher do very little, and you can't have a catcher that statistically just isn't doing much. And so I think the Torey watch it's fine that they're going to allow fans in to a certain number. Texas is saying, okay, we're going to be wide open. We're going to pack the stadium. The little note under that is they're going to make sure all the fans in Texas are masked, or at least they say they're going to. And I'm fine with less is more. Fine with that. And I'm certainly fine on my end of the street of being masked up when I'm out in public. And so if they're going to allow in 20% capacity, or if they're going to open the upper deck and all that stuff, that's important for you guys to know. But Torey Lovello sitting here as a lame duck manager, and they haven't had conversation about it, if I'm to believe everything that was said yesterday, and I'm always skeptical about that stuff. You know, what is it going to take? If they're sitting here at 20-10, is it, oh, we got to extend Torey? If they're sitting here at 18-18, it's, oh, I don't know. If they're sitting here on July 1st and they're 20 games out of 500, then he's blown out. At what point does it become a distraction for your manager? What point does he sit there and say, you know, if I make this move, we blow this game. If I go to the bullpen and I bring in this guy and he brings in his gas can with some matches rather than his glove and his ball, and we lose a game that we should win, I don't buy we're really not even thinking about that right now. It's the last year of his deal. And the thing is, the Diamondbacks are not on top of mind with a lot of fans. They're just not. In this market right now, it's a Cardinal Suns town right now. It just is. And if the Suns have a long playoff run, it'll be a Suns town. And oh, by the way, the Cardinals have J.J. Watt, and they're getting started with Kyler Murray. It will be. Just watch the tidal wave, comparatively speaking. And so it's disappointing. I was talking to a season ticket holder over text this morning who's been an original, 1998, been there all along. They're going to win 70 games, Brad, and not happy with some things. It's really disappointing. I'm going to watch Arizona State later today. I'll be one of the 10 that watch the Pac-12 Network because I actually have it. They play against Oregon today. They won yesterday, which is fine. Look, this means nothing more than just an extra game. If they go out today and win, then all of a sudden Cinderella does set in. All of a sudden it's just, hey, they beat the number one seed. They could go beat anybody else. all they have to do is win on Friday night and Saturday. They're halfway there. That narrative can take over. Nobody's expecting them to beat Oregon today. I'm not expecting it. I don't know if you're expecting it. Nobody's expecting it. I'm not surprised that Marcus Bagley and Josh Christopher are not going to play. Not surprised. Those guys are getting ready to say, I have decided upon further review that I'm going to put my name in the NBA draft, which they could have announced that last March. It's been the plan. Be a one and done. Get in the league. Get your contract going. The Suns play tonight. I would be a guy that looks at LaMarcus Aldridge. If I'm to believe, I've only talked to one NBA scout. Well, if I'm to believe this one NBA scout, it's he still has gas left in the tank. Monty Williams, San Antonio Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge, being around the league. There's a lot of synergy there, okay? Of a lot of people that they can call, that he can talk to. Chris Paul can call a lot of people. I'm sure that they've reached out if they have an interest in P.J. Tucker or LaMarcus Aldridge. And between the two, I'd probably take P.J. Tucker. But LaMarcus Aldridge still has gas left in the tank. And if the Spurs can't trade him, then and they just buy him out, and he can go wherever he wants, the obvious destination is going to be the Lakers. It's the obvious destination. And a team like Boston is going to sit out there. But you're the Suns, and you're making a push. Is LaMarcus Aldridge or P.J. Tucker an upgrade of where they currently stand with Frank Kaminsky? I'm not saying you're bad-mouthing Frank Kaminsky. I just have to look at it big picture. Are we better off making this move? I would think the Suns would have to have interest in LaMarcus Aldridge in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, where the Suns are right now, 24-11, like Devin does not need to even play tonight if his knee isn't right. They only have, in their remaining games, they are back-to-back. They're playing a lot of back-to-backs. And so if Devin's not right on the front end of this, you have some wiggle room. You do. You're first place in the Pacific Division. That's fine. The ultimate goal is not March. So he doesn't need to be pushed back out there if he's not ready to go. The Eric Fisher story. So if you've not heard about this one today, this is why I sit here and have through the years supported the players. The players are the ones that don't get enough support. So the Kansas City Chiefs this morning buy out Eric Fisher, or just tell them they're cutting him. I shouldn't say buy him out, cutting him. So when I hear about players holding out or players trying to put their foot in the ground, and people want to bang on them for trying to stand up for their own rights. Let me get this straight. So he is viewed as one of the best at his position. He's in the AFC Championship game playing his ass off against Buffalo, trying to get his team into the Super Bowl. And he tears his Achilles tendon. And so he tears his Achilles, and he's done. He doesn't play in the Super Bowl. But the team gets there. And he's viewed as one of the best at his position. So what do you – hey, man, thank you so much. And you're cut. Excuse me? And that's the side of it for players. I understand the cap went down. I understand that. Fans don't want to hear about caps going down. They don't. They just want wins. They don't care. If Fitz doesn't come back here because the Cardinals can't make it work financially, fans are not going to care about, well, they couldn't make it work financially. They're going to say, oh, they should have paid him more. It never goes on the player's side of the street. Or if it does, it's simply heartstrings being pulled on and the guy can't play anymore. Eric Fisher? So just the next time you start banging on a player for wanting more money, understand in the NFL, yeah, you have this five-year big number. That doesn't matter. The signing bonus is the only number that matters. And I feel, you know, I don't know Eric Fisher, but I saw that. It was just like, come on now. Come on. All right. Frank Isola on the other side about the Suns and then Devin Henry. I'm Brad Sussmad. All right. As promised, I could put Eddie Johnson on, but I know where Eddie's going to come from out here. He's going to wave the purple and the orange flag. And I want a national view of where the Suns are with the second half of the season getting started tonight at Portland. against Trailblazers. And Frank Isola is someone that I've seen through the years, of course, on Around the Horn and on PTI, and I am a subscriber to SiriusXM. I listen to his show. I turn Eddie off when he comes on. That's just how Eddie and I operate and roll, although we love each other dearly. We've been knee rehab partners and all that stuff. But in all seriousness, I wanted to have Frank on because I want a national view on what the train wreck has been out here. The last time the Suns had a playoff game, Frank, was May 27th, 2010. And you've covered the NBA long enough to know that the Jerry Colangelo, Steve Nash, Charles Barkley, Danny Ainge, Paul Westphal, all the great, great, great names. And this franchise sits here today with the best record in the Pacific Division. So what do you see nationally from a national lens on what's going on here in Phoenix?
I think it all started, well, I mean, they have a terrific coach, Monty Williams, a guy that I covered, I think it was Monty's second year in the NBA when he was on the New York Knicks. So it's been a long time. But, you know, he kind of comes from that Pat Riley school. He spent time with he played under Don Nelson, Larry Brown, Greg Popovich. So he's been around great coaches. Doc Rivers is another guy as well. Very serious guy. So I think when you bring a guy like that and it changes kind of the whole attitude and demeanor and culture of the program. But I think the key move was you go out and get Chris Paul. And if you go back to what happened last season with Chris Paul when he ended up on Oklahoma City, everyone was wondering, well, he'll get bought out. He won't want to be there. Not only did he embrace the idea of being in Oklahoma City and the role that he was in, he excelled at it and the team became a playoff team. So he elevated a young group of players and they were good enough to be a playoff team. And that's what Phoenix needed to do. You can't just be young all the time. The idea, fans love when they say, we have a young team, we have a young team. Management says that. It's not about being young, it's about being good. And when you add Chris Paul to your team, he makes you better. So there's a standard to me that Chris Paul sets that everyone kind of follows. So a young guy like DeAndre Ayton and a young guy like Devin Booker, they're only going to become better players and know how to be pros when you're playing with a guy like Chris Paul. Chris Paul's not putting up these crazy numbers, but it's more about, you know, it's about the numbers, but it's also a lot of the intangibles that he brings. And I think he's had a lot to do with it.
The stuff away from the court that people don't see is what you're referring to. Because it looks like here locally that DeAndre Ayton is still just a deer in headlights when it comes on one end of the court offensively, and that you see Chris physically just gesture at him. Defensively, you can't take away the talent, but out here they're holding it against the Suns. They didn't draft Luka, they took Ayton, and I think tried to calm that down some.
Yeah, well, and also, so that ship has sailed. You know, you could now bemoan that until, you know, from now until kingdom come. So you already went down that road and now you have DeAndre Ayton. And I think for young players, I think maybe social media has got a lot to do with it. I think maybe the fact that coaches, they're on a much shorter leash, general managers the same way, where everybody wants instant results. Are you willing to allow players to develop? You're seeing it in the NFL with quarterbacks where teams are basically giving up on guys after 1 or 2 years. When you bring in young players, you know, it takes them a while to get used to, you know, the speed of the game, also the physicality, you know, how much you need to be ready for 82 games. And a perfect example of it is right now, Las Vegas has Joel Embiid as the favorite to be MVP. So Embiid, his first 2 years, didn't even play. He had the foot injury. And then after that, he played 31 games and he missed a lot of games. He was kind of, his fitness was never where it should be. I always felt he was carrying a little too much weight. He was immature. And it's taken him a while to get his act together. And now he's averaging 30 points and 12 rebounds for a team that has the best record in the Eastern Conference. So Philadelphia wasn't going to trade Joel Embiid. You're going to like try to grow with him. And I think that's what Phoenix needs to do with a guy like DeAndre Ayton.
Frank Isola with us. You can check him out on SiriusXM 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with Brian Scalabrine. That is East Coast time. Is well worth the subscription. If you flip over to Devin Booker, I've had the approach that if you're on a team that stinks, you're not going to get invited to the All-Star game and you're not going to get the attention. It's really simple. The fan base out here is disrespect, disrespect, disrespect. Parse through that with Booker, because I think we're starting to see, you know, with the team winning, him getting more attention and accolades.
Yeah, well, number one, people say disrespect. So in the Western Conference, you have Steph Curry, who is a two-time MVP and a three-time NBA champion. Damian Lillard is having a terrific season, kind of carrying a Portland team that hasn't had CJ McCollum and hasn't had Jusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins. So those guys are going to stand out a little bit more. And I also think when the voting went down among the coaches, I think the coaches voted for Anthony Davis knowing that he wasn't going to play and that Devin Booker would likely be the guy that would replace Anthony Davis. You know, they're only picking 12 guys to a team. So I'm not buying that whole idea of disrespect. And remember, too, you know, Chris Paul, he's got a name. Chris Paul is the head of the union. So the union had a lot to do with the game being played. So I think that's probably one reason why Chris Paul got the nod over Devin Booker. I think all that stuff is nonsense. I think the accolades will start coming once you start winning. Look at a guy like Mike Conley with Utah. Never been an all-star, not a superstar player, but he had never been an all-star, been on some really good teams in Memphis. And he was picked as an injury replacement because right now he's on the team with the best record in the Western Conference. I put a lot more stock into the record. You know, like, I'm not going to vote for a guy for MVP if his team didn't finish at least 500. I'm just not going to do that. And I do the same thing with the All-Star game. I just think the game doesn't matter anyway. I understand for the players, it's a prestige thing, but it, you know, if you're winning games, that should be, in my opinion, and everyone's allowed to have their own criteria. To me, I put a lot of stock into winning.
Where do you put Booker nationally when it comes to guards in this league now?
I think, you know, when you're looking at the young and upcoming guards, I mean, is there really anybody better? I mean, if you're really looking at Luka Doncic as a small forward, even though everybody plays kind of positionless basketball at this point, I think everybody sees the growth. They look at, you know, his ability to score, put the ball on the floor. That's why for him, when he found out that they were getting Chris Paul, how could he have not have been one of the happiest people? Because that was only going to be good for him. The guy is, he's an up-and-coming rising superstar. There's no question about it. And I think he certainly has put Phoenix back on the map. And you mentioned the last time they played in a playoff game, you know, 10 years ago, Chris Paul has made the playoffs for 10 straight years. That's the difference. And Phoenix, I look at, there's two cities. Well, I'll make it four. I look at Phoenix, Washington, Orlando, and Atlanta. I'm always surprised that those cities can't do a little bit better in free agency. I mean, Phoenix has everything that people would want. It's a great, I was out there last week hanging out in Scottsdale. You get the good weather. It's a great place to raise your family. You know, the organization has been terrific. It has a history. And I think maybe now with Chris Paul and also Devin Booker being there, I think they'll be able to attract free agents.
Yeah, I think I got here in 93. So my lens was a lot different when Charles in a new building and Jerry and just the way everything was put out. I had Danny Manning on a couple of weeks ago, and he tears his knee, and Jerry just goes to him and says, you're good with me. Your contract's good.
Yep.
That story through the years. And there just hasn't been that with Robert Sarver. I think, fortunately, he's disappeared here since Larry Fitzgerald came in as one of the minority owners. There's just a different – we don't see Robert, which is good.
Yeah.
So much nonsense going on. Before I get you out of here, and Frank Isola is with us, you can watch him on ESPN at PTI and Around the Horn as part of what he does, and of course, over in SiriusXM. LaMarcus Aldridge, let's see, PJ Tucker, Blake Griffin. They're all sitting out there in different modes, and the Suns have Frank Kaminsky right now that is getting a bulk of the playing time in the starting lineup. Of those three, Frank, and I think Aldridge in 2 weeks will be a free agent. I could be wrong on that. Which one would you say this is the best fit, Brad, for Monty and the Suns?
See, you're already discounting the Brooklyn Nets because they have Blake Griffin now, so you could take him off the board. But I like PJ Tucker a lot. I mean, to me, the guy gives you toughness. He could knock down that corner three. He's a role player. LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus Aldridge is going to end up somewhere. If he's not traded by March 25th, the trade deadline, he will receive a buyout. The San Antonio Spurs have already said that they're going to let LaMarcus Aldridge go on his own right now. So he's done playing for San Antonio. And I think you'd have to look at the LA teams. The Lakers are going to get somebody. I don't know who that player is going to be. And then after that, I think the fact that Phoenix right now is going to be a playoff team. And if they make one or two good moves, why couldn't they make a bit of a playoff run here? They certainly have the talent to do that. So they'll get somebody. Me, I think PJ Tucker is going to be a guy that's going to draw a lot of interest. There's a lot of teams in the East, including the Boston Celtics, a lot of teams out West that want a guy like PJ Tucker.
Yeah, and I think the Celtics have an exception too, right? I
mean, that's right.
They've got the exception, so they could go down that path. Last question, when you look at the West, what's realistic for this team? Is it a second round appearance this year? I think they're beyond, hey, just making the playoffs and getting blown out in first round. Yeah. What's realistic nationally for the Suns in a comeback, Frank, from where they are, where they've been?
I mean, you know this. I mean, there's so many good teams in the West. There's going to be a couple of really good teams that don't even make the playoffs. I mean, avoiding the play-in game would be huge for the Phoenix Suns, which, you know, they're certainly on pace to do that. The big thing in the Western Conference will be the health of Anthony Davis, because we know that LeBron is really difficult to beat four times in a playoff series. His experience, his talent, he knows how to get his, you know, get his team out of the first round, second round, and then into an NBA Finals. So if you can kind of avoid them until the, you know, the Lakers and LeBron, if you're on the opposite side of the bracket, I don't see why Phoenix, if they had a, you know, a couple of good performances, right matchups, why couldn't they make it to a conference final? Denver is good, vulnerable. The Clippers are good. We saw what happened to them in the bubble last year. So if with the right, if the bracket falls right, it's kind of like the NCAA tournament. If the bracket falls right for the Phoenix Suns, why couldn't they get to a conference finals? If they get to the second round, to me, the season is a huge success. Conference finals, that's a little different.
Yeah. Good stuff. I appreciate the insight and your time, Frank. We'll let you go off that. Thanks.
Thanks. Good seeing you.
There's Frank Isola there. And again, you can check out all of his content at SiriusXM, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. East. And again, on ESPN, on their platforms too, at Around the Horn and PTI. And we're back with more after this timeout. As promised, it is Sportive Speed Week. And that means Devin Henry with the team is with us here at Sports 360 AZ. Devin is the Sportive Speed guy that has all sorts of thoughts. So last year it was Chase Elliott in November, Joey Logano last March. And this was right around when COVID was breaking last year and all that stuff was going down. So here we are a year later. It feels to me like, Devin, and I can't cite this, but it just feels like it's the same group of drivers that win at Phoenix. It's not like across the board where everybody's got a shot. Am I right or am I just dead flat wrong on that as we come into this week?
To a point, I mean, if you would have said that 2 years ago, absolutely. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, maybe some other guys at Stewart Haas Racing, they win all the time. Joey Logano doesn't win there very often, won there back in March. Chase Elliott, he's always had speed at Phoenix, finally sealed the deal to win a championship. That was his first ever win at Phoenix. But at the end of the day, you're dealing with a one-mile dog-legged oval. It's a short track, but it's not a short track. And it really fits into certain guys' background of racing when it comes to the short track, but not really a short track because there's still a lot of dog-to-dog racing. They're putting traction compound on the track to move it up a lane. So on one hand, yeah, if Kevin Harvick wins this weekend, don't be surprised.
Right.
But
right.
On the other hand, if a guy like Alex Bowman goes out and wins, who's never won here at his home track before, that's not much of a surprise either, because we have seen a couple of guys in recent history get their first career win here at Phoenix Raceway.
Okay, what has caught your eye so far early in this season on the NASCAR circuit?
Well, first and foremost is the parity. Michael McDowell wins the Daytona 500. This is his 14th year in NASCAR, Brad. 14 years. Zero and 300-something losses, right? Wins the Daytona 500 from right here in Glendale, Arizona. And then he keeps doing well. Him and Kevin Harvick, the only two drivers to have a top 10 the first 3 years or the first three races in a row. So he's doing extremely well. William Byron goes out. He wins a race. He's only won a couple in his very young career. Christopher Bell wins his first ever race in NASCAR's Cup Series at a road course. He's a dirt car driver, and he wins at a road course. And then, of course, Kyle Larson, a lot of weird background stuff on him this past year. He wins in his first four races with Hendrick Motorsports. We don't know who's going to win when, Brad. If you would have told me in the first four races, those were your first four winners, I would have said, I tell you what, if you went and spent some money on that in Vegas, you'd sure win a lot of money because no one else thinks so. But that's just the way that it's been. It's been parity, parity, parity. So who wins this week? If it's a guy winning his first ever Cup Series race, at this point, I don't think anyone is surprised.
Devin Henry hosts the Inside Lane. You can see his content right here on the website at sports360az.com. He will be out at the track. You've talked to a lot of people in the sport in the last couple of weeks, Jamie Little, Mike Joy. What are their thoughts? What are you taking away from your conversation with them about where the sport is?
Well, first and foremost, I actually talked to Mike Joy exactly about this. And he mentioned back in 2007, you couldn't go into a supermarket and not see a cardboard cutout of some driver trying to sell you something, right? It seemed like there was a NASCAR driver everywhere, whether you knew them or not. And since 2007 being the second most viewed sport in America, television and attendance wise, they've been on this Giants line. And they thought they corrected it during 2020, obviously the first major sport to return. They thought that they had corrected the slide. They're going back up. First four races of the year, that's not what the ratings are telling us. They are still on a bit of a slide. It's not bad. They're getting the younger demographic, but it's not where it was 10 years ago. So while the sport is doing all right, something that Mike Joyce specifically said, they need more consumer products to come and sponsor cars. So when you have Domino's Pizza, you think of Denny Hamlin and go, you know what? I want to watch that number 11 car, see how it does this Sunday. And we'll hear from actually Mike Joy a little bit later on exactly what he said. But another point that I talked to Adam Alexander, Jamie Little, and Mike Joy all about is the championship race here in Phoenix for the second year in a row. And I asked them, what are your thoughts on it going beyond just 2 years? The championship being here for years. It was at Homestead Miami Speedway for decades. And they said, it's about a 99% chance that it will be at a NASCAR-owned track. We love Phoenix. We love the sights. We love the racing. But everyone has a belief right now that whether that's next year, the year after, 2 years later, the championship will likely get moved around like the Super Bowl does and change every couple of years. So hopefully Phoenix Raceway just has a chance to host a championship without a pandemic going on and kind of have that championship atmosphere.
All right, you mentioned Mike Joy. You've got a little bit of sound on that, a little bit you want to share with the consumers here, the fans of racing, and just sport in general here in the Valley.
Yeah, talk to Mike Joy. It's up on the site, sports360az.com. And he went very in-depth on the world of racing, motorsports, including here in Arizona with Bear Jackson and, of course, Phoenix Raceway. But he specifically looked at what we just talked about, Brad. Where's the sport going, and what does the sport need the most to succeed moving forward?
The one thing looking back that's very difficult to figure out is how we went from being the number two sport in America in terms of attendance and TV ratings in 2007 to the slide that I really thought we had arrested, and maybe we haven't. And I think one of the biggest changes we've seen is a reduction in the number of consumer products and services being advertised on these race cars. A company ran a large campaign and it featured Denny Hamlin. And the girl goes, "Hey, Denny, nice PJs." Two things happen out of that. One is eventually you remember Domino's Pizza, that was their ad. And the other thing is, yeah, hey, Denny Hamlin, race car driver. I want to tune into the race to see how he does. Casual fans, they need those prompts, or they're not naturally going to tune in. And that's not unique to NASCAR. It's true of almost every sport.
And I've seen across Twitter, Brad, I don't know if you've seen the Domino's commercial ad where the little girl loves Denny's PJs or not, but yeah. Some fans hate it. For me, every time it comes on, I have a giant smile on my face. But like Mike Joy said, that's what NASCAR needs to market these drivers, not just in a helmet in the cockpit. We've had this conversation with the NFL. Take the helmets off. The face, the personality of the athlete is oh so important in marketing the sports.
So, and I agree with Mike on that and what you have to say there. And that whole interview is up on the site at sports360az.com. You talk with Michael McDowell, and the story here is the Daytona 500 winner, born here in the Valley. Take me down that path a little bit, and we'll hear from him.
Oh, absolutely. And Michael McDowell is just, I don't care who you talk to, no one has a negative thing to say about Michael. He has been grinding it out in the NASCAR Cup Series for 14 years now. And for those who don't understand a lot about NASCAR, it's not like the Dallas Cowboys where you start throwing money and money and money and money. At certain points in NASCAR, you have to stop throwing money out. And this is Michael has never raced for a team like Joe Gibbs Racing, Hendrick Motorsports, Stuart Haas Racing. It's always been these lower budget teams where you don't go out to win a race. You go out to keep the car clean to save the team money, and you go out to get the team enough money to race the next week. Mm-hmm. This is what he's been grinding out and doing for years and years. And he knew. He said that he knew. Every time he comes to Daytona, he thinks he has a chance to win that race. And he said that he knew that if he just kept on fighting and getting those opportunities, one day the opportunity would arise for him to win a race in NASCAR. He will forever be on that list of under 200 guys in the past 70 years to win a race in the biggest automobile industry, sports industry in the world, arguably, besides maybe F1. So this is a guy who's overcome every single odd. I talked to him about how he would just used to ride his bike down to the local karting track over by, it's not Wet and Wild anymore, but the water park out by Glendale by the mountain. Mm. He would just ride his bike over there. He eventually became a two-time international karting champion. And tonight, he's going back to that track where he cut his teeth, and he is racing against some of the youngsters that look up to him as a guy in NASCAR from Glendale. So cool. I'll be there tonight. You'll see the story on Sports 360 AZ. He's a very religious person. I think that this is a true David versus Goliath story. And it's going to be fun tonight to watch him race against all the kids following in his footsteps.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. You have a safe and fun week. I know that this for you, it's like being at Disneyland or Christmas morning when the presents open up. So knock it out of the park as you've been doing through the years with the company, and have fun out there, Devin. Thanks.
Will do. My three favorite things: Disney parks, Christmas Day, NASCAR in Phoenix.
Ha, good to see you. Good stuff. There's Devin Henry, and we're back with more after this time out.